Hey, how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Thursday, the 20th of February, 2020, episode 220. That is confusing. This is take two, by the way. I also got confused in take one. Hope you're all well, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. He said, hopefully recovering quickly. This is the second episode coming from the big desk, which used to be in the study when I recorded an earlier era of Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available. It's a desk that is so big that I actually keep forgetting my dinner plate in the evening. So I've gone into the kitchen, I've washed up, then I walk back into the front room and I find my plate here. I like to think that's down to the desk rather than further evidence of the dementia. I don't know if it's dementia or stress. Either way, I am becoming more and more forgetful. Hope you guys have had good weeks. One thing I've learned this week is that I need to stop checking the eBay app on my phone when I'm dozing off. The reason I now have my phone in bed, I'm someone who has not done that before, but there's a couple of podcasts that I've discovered that I'm really enjoying, Canadian shows. I'm not going to tell you their names because, you know, I've got a few enough listeners as it is. I don't want you turning this show off now to go and download these shows. But these shows, I can't find them for some reason on Apple Podcasts. They're on there, but they won't download. So I'm having to use the Player FM app on my phone. The show, by the way, this show is also on Player FM. And as I'm listening to these shows, then I bring up the eBay app and I start trying to source the players of the future for Star Wars football. And I've accidentally ended up submitting purchases, finding items in my basket in the morning. Obviously, as I'm dozing off, my fingers just slipped on the screen. And I think there was one player I'd bought who I actually have in mind for the Much Troubled Death Star team. It's a Bespin Luke action figure for $3.99. It's from the mid-90s era when I think there was someone else making it. It wasn't Kenner anymore and the figures were far more muscular. They are quite impressive figures. The more muscular ones I've got no time for, but they do make very solid holding players or defenders, holding midfielders or centre halves. And so that's something that I need to stop doing, he said, trying to pick up the pace of the show rather quickly. Some housekeeping on the audio boom front, because it looks like that might be the easiest option for the show in terms of a swift changeover. It will mean more work for me in terms of I'm going to have, well, the regular edition will carry adverts now on Apple Podcasts, but wherever there's a chance to have it on there without the adverts, then the show will appear on there without the adverts. The Patreon section of the show will always be advert-free, so I've really got to work out how to do that. I've left it too late to do this week, but hopefully I can pick this up on Friday. Obviously, being the kind of person that I am, having dealt with audio boom back and forth this week, I've obviously not made it straightforward. I think the guy at Audio Boom might have marked me down as spam by now. On Monday, he asked me to send him this show's listening figures to see if I was entitled to a free Audio Boom account. I said to him, let's not waste time on that. You're not making anything out of my existing listeners. I think you guys might actually be as frugal as me. The way I'm approaching this change is if I can pick up some of Audio Boom's mattress buy-in HelloFresh, buy their fruit and veg from Abel and Cole listeners, this could work out. Bring on the adverts for the regular show, I say. Maybe they'll need to replace their mattresses, these Audio Boom listeners, by the time I'm doing my final shows from the care home. I'll pick up some advertising money and can close things out with my own room at the care home and maybe enough money left over to bribe one of the orderlies to bring me some extra bedding, because I'm sure it's going to be like a hospital stay where you don't get enough bedding. I'm recording a day early just to explain why. So it's Wednesday evening here. This morning, across the road again, more workmen drilling. I think they finished, but I can't be sure. And I don't want to be spending another full Thursday working on this. I haven't seen my aunt now for a couple of weeks. I'd like to get there tomorrow. So the plan is to record this and at least edit and upload the regular section of the show by Thursday morning, and then I can get out and also get some fresh air. I think I've actually forgotten my thread as usual. What was I going to say? This is ridiculous how forgetful I am. Hopefully it'll come to me in a bit. A couple of minor things that I've noticed on the dermatology front. When buying the neighbour's paper on Saturday morning, didn't like small talk. He was covering the morning shift. I think it's more doesn't like small talk with guys. I've noticed that he does small talk with female customers. I'm fine with a no small talk. And he's got a curious thing. There almost appears to be a time lag. His mouth doesn't sync with his voice. It reminds me a bit of Morten Harkett, the otherwise brilliant a-ha singer, who was brilliant live, but he was the worst mimer on Top of the Pops I've ever seen. And that's what this guy doesn't like small talk reminds me of. And I noticed that as he was giving me my change, he had, actually this was Sunday I think, yeah, he had a small mole on the underside of his right thumb. And I noticed that. I was immediately thinking I'd love to get that under one of my dermoscopy loops. Some other thing to bring to your attention, which will probably be of no interest to you. There was an old neighbour I saw at a bus stop. It was an old neighbour from the time when I launched Please Don't Hug Me 10 years ago with Mickey, old neighbour in South Lambeth Road. Always muttering to himself, even back then. And he's still around, always alone, always muttering. He still lives in the same place, and he was muttering, and I could hear his Scottish accent, and I thought, is that me? Am I like that? And I'm hoping that my muttering never spills out onto the street. I think that would be tragic. I don't mind the muttering indoors, but I don't want it to be spilling out onto the street. In terms of the audio boom stuff, where had I left that? It's still... What is this? Is this stress, dementia? What is it? What's going on? Hopefully I've explained that well enough for you guys. Anyway, I think I was telling you why I'm recording a day early. I'm going to go and see my aunt tomorrow. Oh, that's it. Finally got there. This is what I'm like in my life. Back and forth from room to room, trying to work out what I had gone into that room for, trying to retrace my steps. And yes, I got lucky last week. The platform provider site was working, so the upload was smooth. But obviously, I can't rely on it. So the easiest thing is simply going to be to switch platform provider and try and limit any disruption to the podcast. So I'm just trying to get an understanding from Audio Boom of what they need from me. And they're probably thinking, why does it take 4 or 5 emails with this guy when everyone else, you know, within 1 or 2 emails, we've answered all their questions. Moving on, this is the bit where I talk about my deteriorating eyesight. It seems to be a regular theme now on this show. Went into Specsavers on Friday. I think really what I'm doing by going, and it's not specific to Specsavers, it's simply specific to the chain opticians, like the Costa Star Neros of the opticians world. I think I'm simply delaying the inevitable and more expensive trip to Dulwich Village for the eye test. And also, it's a bit like the park I run in. I don't like it, and I think that has a bit of an impact on the running, because I just don't enjoy being in that space physically. And I think it's the same with the potential trip to the opticians in Dulwich Village. I find Dulwich Village really disturbing. I think it is a place where the old people go to die. And if it's not old people, it's just very young, middle-class white people. It's just a horrible place. As much as I can't stand South East London, I think I would rather live in the far reaches of South East London, as I have done before with great difficulty, than live in Dulwich Village. Any place that has those kind of white posts on the streets that really does set itself out as a village, it's not for me. I mean, I feel isolated enough as it is. Whenever I've had occasion to go to Dulwich Village, I feel, it just makes me feel really low. And you don't see too many Café Rouges these days. I think that's what they're called. I know there's one on Aberville Road in Clapham, which is a really poncy road. There's one in Dulwich Village. Their business plan seems to be, okay, we're going to scale things back, but we are still going to be in these very poncy areas, catering for these very poncy people. But the normal high street, we're not bothering with that kind of nonsense. The glasses had been ready since the Sunday before episode 219, but I'd been so snowed under and stuck indoors. So it was Friday before I picked them up. I turn up at the opticians. The bouffant was under the hat, the misshapen hat. I've got two identical hats and the elastic's gone on both of them. And I don't think that's down to the forceps delivery head. I just simply think that's down to the bouffant. The bouffant has pulled these hats out of shape. Just keeping an eye on the time on the mic, because the last couple of weeks I've been recording onto MP3s and I think I noticed a dip in the audio quality. So I've gone back to WAV files, which means that recording on WAV, you have less recording time, and recording on a Zoom 1, I don't find them that reliable. So just keeping an eye on that. And I was telling you about my two hats. I've got two identical hats. The elastic's gone on both of them now. The hair is that long that I find it uncomfortable, as well as uncomfortably dated. It just feels uncomfortable on the head. I found some hairband belonging to the ex a few days ago, so I started tying the hair back. Tragic visual. I suppose it's a good thing that I can still do it, but I don't want to be that kind of guy, like the hippie a couple of doors away, still going around like it's 1990. So I need to sort the hair out. I shouldn't have let it get this long, because those guys at the cutting crews by the Vauxhall Pleasure Gardens, they're going to struggle to carve out a decent haircut with this amount of hair. I know that they can't be trusted. I'd applied the dregs of what was left of some Moroccan hair oil to damp hair before leaving the flat. And there was a very camp consultant at the opticians. There's the throat going. I said to myself before I sat down to record this, do I need a glass of water here on the desk? And I decided no, because I always have problems drinking any water while recording, and then I have to edit out the swallow in, and I just thought, well, no, don't bother. And here I am, the throat's going. So I'd gone into the opticians, and this consultant brought out the glasses, asked me to remove the hat, reasonable request, put the glasses on me, new lenses. That's as the optician had said when I'd gone back after having problems for a couple of weeks with the original glasses. They said there'd been a misstep, that they'd given me glasses that I might need in a year or two's time, but not right now. So it's a kind of, you know, stepping backwards. Here's what you need now. These are kind of transitional glasses. And he put the glasses on me and he said right away the frames needed adjusting. I queried that because they hadn't had to adjust the frames when I picked them up 2 weeks previously. He was adamant they did. I thought, okay, I don't think they do, but he works here. He does this all the time. Let's do it his way first. I put the glasses on when he adjusted them. He couldn't see my ears because of the mullet. He asked if he could touch my hair. I gave him the green light, so he pulled my hair back over the ears and I could see him regretting it right away. I wondered whether I ought to mention that that was the Moroccan hair oil on his fingers, and he didn't look happy. I saw him wiping his right forefinger and thumb on the plastic the frames had come in. He waved away my concerns about how tight the frames felt. I mean, I've got them on now, and they're pressing down on the bridge of my nose, but they're also pressing down on the ears. I was told that given I had put that I didn't want the actual lenses slimmed down simply to save money, I was told that this might happen. I think this is partly that. I think it's also partly that the frames have been adjusted when they didn't need to be adjusted. So I think I'll need to take them back possibly tomorrow to see if they can well, basically reduce the tightness, and maybe tomorrow, well, I suppose tomorrow I won't wear the Moroccan hair oil. I think I'm out of it, by the way. But if I get the same guy, I'm hoping that he thinks, oh, at least he didn't have that oily stuff in his hair. Or it may be that he's remembered me and he sees me come in and he makes himself scarce and figures that one of his colleagues can deal with the grease. I can't see the television with these glasses on, and I know that that is normal with reading glasses. This is the thing that's confusing me, because I've had the long-sighted glasses since I was 20, And you don't have to take them off. You can walk around. Not that I did, because I've always found it tricky walking around with glasses. But someone could be talking to me. I'd be sat down. I'd keep the glasses on. Didn't need to take them off. But now that the eyesight has deteriorated significantly, I'm having to do that thing where you're taking your glasses off to look at someone or to look at something. It's a real difficult adjustment. I saw a David Baddiel documentary the other day. It just came up on the iPlayer, and I thought, well, I'll watch this, about Holocaust deniers. It was an interesting watch. And there was a bit where David Baddiel was in his study, and he walked in with one pair of glasses on, and then he had another pair of glasses on his desk. He took the pair of glasses that he was wearing, took them off, put them on his desk, and picked up the other pair of glasses. I suppose if you're successful, you can do that. But it's that kind of thing. So the optician had told me a few weeks back, this is why people do this. So you have these glasses for your screen work or for reading. If someone's talking to you, they're in front of you, you've got to take your glasses off. You don't need to wear your glasses to look at that person. These are for reading. So I just think I need to try and make sense of that in my head. And because I lack common sense, this is not easy to remember. I'm also, because I'm now wearing them to read, it's not easy to remember to put the glasses on before I put my latex gloves on to handle my library books in bed. So I've then got to remove the latex gloves and start all over again, put the glasses on, then put the latex gloves back on. That would be more difficult if I was still wearing the Poundland latex gloves. The only real benefit, well, the only benefit of my uncle's recent ailments and his trips to hospitals has been that they have allowed me to go in and stock up on my supplies of hospital latex gloves, which are much easier to wear than the Poundland gloves. So it's not difficult to remove the gloves. Hopefully, though, I'll soon pick up the knack. It will be get into bed, put the glasses on, put the latex gloves on, then handle the library book. I'm also, of course, having to wear my glasses now on the bus when I'm reading, and that means that when I get home, in addition to using a fragrance-free, sorry, not a fragrance-free, that's the hand gel, the antibacterial wipes, I always wipe the four-color Bic, I wipe my notebook, and I wipe the mobile. And I've now extended that to wiping the arms of the glasses because I'm wearing them on a bus. And it does feel weird wearing glasses on a bus. It's not something that I've ever done. But that is the stage I am now at in my life. As I left, the consultant gave me some Valentine's chocolates, much to the amusement of his colleagues. And I just thought to myself, hey, I'll take any compliments where I can get them right now. And maybe this means the Moroccan hair oil hadn't been so bad. Physically feeling very decent today. Had a really good run earlier, possibly my best since I started, 9 months ago now. I got stuck in the grass in those new aesthetically ripped trainers on my warm-up. And I do mean actually stuck in the grass. It was like a bog. And I couldn't move. And I just thought, this is stupid. I can't do this. I won't do this anymore. And these are new running shoes. And okay, they're not damaged. But aesthetically, they're an absolute disaster. And it's killing me to look at them. I can barely look at them. And when I put them on in the hallway, I keep the hallway light off. I don't want to look at them. As I headed into today's run, I'd been minded to go on the concrete paths running through the park whenever I happened upon any treacherous areas of grass. But this moment today, coupled with a group of kids on half term playing football, they had some small size goals as well on the pitch. And that's where my route normally starts. And I was wearing the X's leggings. And I thought, yeah, I'm not going to run past these kids in women's leggings. So I ran mostly on concrete. I thought that would make me faster. I felt faster, but when I got home and I looked at the stats today, I'd actually run slower, but I'd run a much greater distance. Well, yeah, significantly greater for me. So I felt comfortable. I don't think I'd have been able to do that in the old Stanley Matthews shoes, but obviously my surgeon had always counseled against me running on concrete, which is why I've been doing this grass thing. But seriously, it is no way to even begin to enjoy running. Well, I'm not a runner. I've said this before. I am a runner. I'm running, so I'm a runner, but I'm not someone who's got any ambition with the running beyond staying fit and healthy. You know, I'm not going to run a 5K or 10K, whatever. I've got no ambitions on that front. It may be that one day I can run those distances, but I'm not going to enter any races. I'm not that kind of guy. I've got no problem with people who do that, but I'm not that kind of guy. This is really about trying to be fit mentally and physically. And there was a time last summer where I remember running for a bus and struggling, and I thought, this is ridiculous. It's, you know, I'm doing weights 4 or 5 times a week, but what's that? What's that doing? I've tried running for this bus. It wasn't that big a distance, and I'm wheezing on the bus. That's not going to happen now. So for the first time in 10 years, I'm fit. And that, for me, is an incredible achievement. But not enjoying that process of getting fit, dreading it, in fact, that's not a good thing. So today, I think, was a positive. But obviously, my concern is if I start doing this running on concrete till the grass and the trails harden up a bit, am I doing any damage to the foot? Stepped out of the park at one point. I'd gone through a gate. There was an uphill stretch at the end, and I found that difficult. Almost at the end. Not the end, but almost at the end. And this is a route that I'd actually discovered a couple of weeks ago when, if you listen to episode 219, I saw Miranda Sawyer in the park and, you know, to avoid her because, one, I didn't know if she'd recognize me. Two, if she recognized me from Twitter and knowing I'm from the area, you know, I was in a rush. I had to get to this meeting at the bank and I didn't have the small talk. So I'd gone on this diversion and that helped me see a part of the park that I don't normally see. In fact, I think I've only seen that part of the park once or twice. So I'd taken this route, I'd gone out through one gate, and I thought if I turn right, I'm going to see another gate. It didn't work like that. So I'd run about maybe 20 seconds on the street for the first time in years, and that felt weird. And I'm looking for this other gate. There's no gate. So then I just ran all the way back and went through the other gate. I felt okay. Obviously, at the end, I was quite tired. I think I was disappointed not to have run for longer, but I'd actually covered an extra kilometre with the run I'd done and the route I'd taken. And I'm very bad with maths, so I don't understand how that works sometimes. And I don't understand this business about splits and all this and that. You know, as I say, I just want to be healthy. I want to be fit. And I think that's important. If I can stay fit without losing more weight, that would be good. I bought some new potatoes last week, and I'm just remembering that now. I still haven't had them. I need to do something with them. And, well, hopefully I will. So I'd gone back to the clinic last week, the foot clinic. They've told me give it another 7 days. And if the swelling hasn't gone down, then, you know, it may be that you need antibiotics. So I'm either going to go there tomorrow or Friday, given the editing, because I didn't get there last week until the Friday. So given that, I think it's likely I'll go back on Friday. It has been a very tough week. So tough, in fact, that yesterday, I thought maybe I'll do an impromptu bonus episode or maybe an episode that I can just stick on iTunes and then remove it at some point in case, you know, I'm feeling like I'm oversharing. Minor things. Well, minor to normal people, I suppose. For me, just always a concern, something to obsess over. The nozzle on the bedroom radiator, that broke. Looking back over the last few weeks, it hasn't been turning well. So I think I was lucky that it hasn't broken before this. Obviously, I'd saved money by bringing Mickey Blue in after the leak the previous week. To get him twice in a couple of weeks is almost near impossible. He still hasn't responded to any of my texts, and we were meant to be meeting up for a coffee this week. I think I'll give him another call on Friday. It may be that I need to get a plumber in, and obviously it's an old radiator, so I'm thinking, well, how difficult is it going to be to fix this nozzle? I glued the nozzle back on. I aligned it with the pin that had obviously broken off in there. And then I was testing it for most of Sunday. But no, I can no longer control it. The only positive about that is that it broke while it was actually on the full setting because I was drying some clothes. And with this being a fairly spacious flat with big ceilings and these being old radiators, it's not a warm flat at all. Very hard to warm this flat. I sleep by the window in the bedroom, and that's where the heater is. So I feel some benefit there, but I'm lucky that it didn't break when it was either off or on one or two on the settings. at the same time, I don't want to be throwing money away. You know, I've not got the heating on now. It's a bit chilly, 18, 15 hours on Wednesday evening. I don't want to be turning on the heating now that I can't control the heating in the bedroom. That's throwing money away, and I need all the money that I can get right now. Then there was a situation on Friday. I knew it was coming, where I got letters from the council, you know, having taken over the tenancy of this place, and now I'm the sole council tax guy. And the thing I don't like about letters, and this is one of the positives, I think, of the online world, one of the few for me, for someone like me, is that it means that you have a choice of whether you receive letters or not. You can just get these notifications and this information emailed to you. I have a real horror of getting official looking letters because they're very rarely good news. And of course, on Friday, I knew it was going to be Friday, I got three letters from the council tax giving three different bits of conflicting information. And I thought, it's Friday evening, I can't do nothing now. This is sod's law, it's happened now. But I did really well in thinking, okay, forget about it. Of course, I couldn't forget about it 100% over the weekend, but I dealt with it well. It was, I can't do anything till Monday. Worry about it Monday. I went in on Monday to the Civic Centre, wasn't happy with the information they were giving me. I was querying certain things they were saying, and when I queried those things and pulled them up on other things, they would then change tack, tell me something else. And I was thinking, these guys don't know what they're talking about. So I took a number for the council tax people, called them up. Now I've got to wait until next week before seeing what the situation is. So I think I've got better at the way I approach these kind of things. But it's this life admin that wears me out as much as admin for the man. It's just admin in general, I find really mentally exhausting. So I'm just clearing these little hurdles at the moment. Yes, it's been a hard week. I'll come back to that in a second as I wrap up the regular show. Just time to let you know how you can get in touch with the show or follow the show. Twitter at 1607 West Egg, Instagram at 1607 West Egg 2. There's Facebook, facebook.com/DRT is available. All my work, 500 plus shows going back 10 years. That's at DanielRuizTyson.com. I've written SoundCloud here, and I don't know why, because I can't afford to have a SoundCloud account. So those are the ways you can get in touch with the show, ways you can support the show. There is the Patreon page, patreon.com/DRT available. That's DRT available, patreon.com/DRT available. And that's to get the full length shows every Thursday. And these shows, after you guys, you regular listeners, disappear, this show then goes on for another, you know, sometimes 50 minutes, sometimes an hour. And if you fancy a bit of that, if you fancy staying with the show for a bit longer, that is the way to support it. It's just $7 a month. That's less than the price of two UK coffees, unless you go to Café Rouge, perhaps. And I would argue that that is a brilliant bargain. That's a Hall of Fame bargain, if you forgive the momentary Americanism. If you can't do that, if you can't afford that, then please, if you enjoy the show, please do share the links to the show on social media. Give it a nice review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. Throw some stars my way. All these things increase the show's visibility in the store. So those are ways to support the show. You've also got the Amazon link on the website, DanielRuizTyson.com. If you go through the Amazon link on my website, when you're doing your Amazon shopping, it takes you back to Amazon. Amazon recognizes you've come through that link on my website, and at no extra cost to you, kicks back a small percentage of your purchase back to my work. There's also a PayPal link on there. There's a coffee.com link on there. If you're not sure about committing to the Patreon and you just want to make a one-off donation, that will get the full-length show for that week WeTransferred to you. Of course, some of you who do get the show WeTransferred still don't download it, but you know, I'm doing what I can. I'm keeping my end up, let's say that. A tough week. It's been the 20th anniversary of my mum's passing. It's also been her birthday. This whole 20 years thing, this number 20, it's a hell of a chunk of life. It's a significant chunk of life. Now, I'm not going to tell you that this anniversary or the last few anniversaries have been as intense as the early years. Of course it hasn't, because you recover, you find a way to deal with that pain and that grief. You rebuild and you carry on because you have to. So it's not that, and I'm not going to pretend that it is. It's always important, of course, on those days to just, I think, you know, step back and remember that person, remember how they've shaped you and all the things that they did for you, so you're not throwing away those opportunities and those values that they gave you. But for me, this week, it has been the 20 years. It's such a milestone, and it's just had me thinking, you know, who was I 20 years ago? Who would I have been without that moment, that moment that, you know, mentally damaged me forever, because it did. And it's also about the people that were in my life at that time who are no longer in my life, you know, my dad and Lopez, two big characters, two big personalities in my life who did not make it out of the noughties. So it's about remembering all that. It's about remembering things like that leaking roof the last Christmas Eve that my mum was around. It's about remembering the coat, the black coat with a white piping that used to make me sweat a lot, that she got me that last Christmas that I didn't like, but that took on a huge importance after she passed away, because it was the last thing my mum had bought me. And, you know, from Christmas Eve to the moment she passed away, I think it was around 50 days. And those final 50 days were very, very intense. That Christmas Eve, 99, there was a, you know, leaking roof. The rain finally broke through the roof again, the flat roof. I just couldn't face it. And I was going to the ex-girlfriend's that time, to her parents who lived in Kent. Well, to her mum's, her parents had split up. Extraneous detail, you don't need to know that. But I felt it was a coward's way out. I just couldn't stay in the bedsit that night, and to leave my mum and my sibling with that, that's a horrible way to deal with Christmas. And it was really, really raining in London on Christmas Eve 99. It was coming down hard. So it's about thinking about all of those things, the intensity of my focus when I was writing at that time in the lead up to that. And it all kind of came crashing down with this shattering end that, and I'd say if this was a normal show with thousands of listeners, the chances are there's going to be quite a few of you who've experienced something similar. There's not that many of you listening to this, so it may be there isn't anyone listening to this who has experienced such a sudden end. I would imagine if you're my age, if you're, you know, a bit younger, you know, once you start getting past 20, I think you start losing the people that you love, whether it's grandparents, parents, you know, once you move into your 30s, in my case, it was 20s, which I suppose accentuates the tragedy. But you have that experience. For me, it was the suddenness that there was no opportunity to say goodbye to either my mum or my dad. And I went to the cemetery. And again, that's a place I went to with my dad a lot in the early years, and exes over the years. And when I'm there, I can't really picture my mum too clearly there, because that's not somewhere she went. That's where she is, but it's not somewhere she ever went. She's the first Ruiz in there. There's not much space there as well. It's quite tight in there now. There was a lot of space when my mum first went in there, but there are so many graves there now. And the ground's always changing as well. It's a lot of subsidence, a lot of graves that have collapsed, and you literally are walking on graves when you're there. And I took a slightly different route yesterday. I wasn't focused, and it meant that as I cut through to get to the spot where my mum is, I'm certain that I walked over a few graves, and it feels disrespectful, but I put myself in a position where there was no other way to get to my mum's grave. Probably in hindsight, a mistake to have gone on my own. I usually take my aunt, but I've got so much on at the moment, and not in a look at me how busy I am because I'm a really big guy kind of way, but more in a I'm chasing my tail kind of way. Normally it takes about 3 days to get to the grave with my aunt. Her pace is so slow these days. She's on her stick, she's holding onto my arm, she's making me pick up a plastic bottle out of the bins to fill it with water to clean the stones, and I'm looking at my hand and I'm thinking I almost want to amputate this thing. You know, sure, I've got some hand gel on me, but I want water and soap when I'm touching these kind of things. But I like having my aunt with me. I think when I'm going to the cemetery, I realised that yesterday. And also it's something to savour as well. You know, she's a huge figure in my life. She stepped in after I lost my mum. Whatever I've become in those 20 years since that awful day, my aunt has overseen that. I suspect she's just thinking, he's just turned into his dad. the same battles, the same losses, the same scrapes. And although I am I'd say I'm a quiet guy, when I go to my aunt's in the evenings, and my uncle, you know, loves his space, he's not a big one for visitors, but being family, I'm pretty sure he doesn't mind me going. But I do find myself talking a lot there, and sometimes I think, oh, my uncle must think this guy's like his dad, because my dad could really talk. I mean, my dad would have had a podcast. Each episode would have been about 2 hours long, because that guy could talk. My aunt likes the talking, and my aunt is a bit of a talker. It's one of her main criticisms of my uncle, is that he's a very quiet guy. I don't necessarily think that's true, though. I think with my uncle, once he's out of his shell a bit, he's got some interesting stories. But, you know, he's a very laid-back guy, but my aunt always has a go at him for his lack of dialogue, lack of conversational skills or inclination to engage in dialogue. It was really quiet in the cemetery. The heavens would open shortly after I left. In fact, after I left, I went to the library, which is next door. I think it's one of the ways I push myself to go to the cemetery was, okay, do this thing that you don't want to do, that you don't like doing, that you're going to find sad, and then you can go into the library and spend some time doing something you love and get another book out. Because it's not like you've got enough with the 30-odd library books you've currently got loaned out from 4 different boroughs. So I did that. And by the time I was in the library, the rain was coming down. But prior to leaving the cemetery, unusually for me, I decided to sit on the memorial bench where my mum is. And I just tried to, I don't know what I was trying to do, actually. I suppose it goes back to this year feeling like this was such a milestone anniversary. I suppose I'm guilty of having made it more about me. And you're probably thinking that. You're probably thinking, how self-absorbed is this guy? I was just there, I was sat on that bench thinking how that day had changed me, how it had changed my life. Even with the sporadic success, even when that success came, success as I defined it, you know, with writing, not in my personal life, but with the writing, I had to move with that success, all the while carrying that visual of finding my mum slumped, lifeless on the sofa in the front room. I've had to carry that with me for the last 20 years. And knowing, and I suppose this is an admission here, knowing that I found her with, well, while sporting an overly sculpted goatee and a necklace, the type of which would one day irk me if I saw them on a guy. So I was a very different guy back then, I think. I think I was low-key, but visually, I was a bit of a dandy. Looking back, I was quite a cliche. You know, the cliched long-haired writer, as the Space Daddy would say, who still has long hair, just as I have now. But at least, you know, I put in a decade or more with the short hair. Other memories from that time. I remember late December 99, I bought my first pair of jeans in 4 years. I'd been wearing chinos for 4 years, and not easy to wear chinos if you've never worn them before. In terms of going to a urinal, there's or urinal, I think we've been through that before. Is it urinal, urinal? Remind me. Very tricky initially. 96 was a steep learning curve for me when it came to wearing chinos, but I wore them for 4 years solid. In fact, I think I even went to white trousers. And 2002, I think the 7th of June, was it 2002, the day of the double sacking? That was whilst wearing white trousers. But I remember that late December 99, it would have been the week after Christmas, I bought my first pair of jeans in 4 years. I think I went to Gap for them and I thought, oh, these look good. These look nice. I think jeans had gone slightly out of fashion for guys around that time. Combat trousers had come in as well, or cargo trousers, whatever you call them. And I've never been a massive lover of jeans, though I've been a big wearer of jeans. I think most of us have been. But particularly when jeans are being washed, I hate how they feel. So I remember sitting with my jeans in the cinema, my new jeans. Went to the cinema twice in those last 50 days of my mum's life. I can't remember what the first film was. Actually, no, I do. I do now. I can't remember what it was called. I'll check, but it would involve moving the mic. It was an Eddie Izzard film. Well, it wasn't an Eddie Izzard film. He was one of the co-stars. There's the throat going. It was about superheroes, and I was really interested in this at the time because I pitched a show to the BBC about a superhero. And long story short, I had to tell the producer
that I was working with at that time that the BBC had another superhero show coming on around that time, imminently. I think My Hero, was it called, with the guy from Father Ted? It's Ardlo Hanlon. And they didn't know. And of course, once they knew, that was it. My proposal fell away. But at that time, I was working on this show. And I thought, I'll go and see that, see if it's any good. I didn't particularly like it. And that made me feel a bit better. I thought, well, I don't really need to worry about this. So it was some Eddie Izzard American superhero film. Well, he was in it anyway. So there was that. There was that film. And then the last week, I remember, Mexican food was a big thing for me at that time. And I would just eat loads of it. It was so easy to make as well. I couldn't believe that cooking was so easy. Of course it isn't. I mean, that's almost gimmicky food. So I'd had a Mexican meal and made a Mexican meal as well at home during the day. I ate a meal unusually during the day with the ex from that time at the family bedsit. I remember we made some for my mum. She ate it upstairs, but she couldn't eat much. So she'd had some episode the week before, as it turned out. And my mum was always someone that kept stuff to herself, but she was so scared by what had happened to her the previous Friday that she told me. So that was on my mind all that week, really. And I was trying to spend more time there at the bedsit. And we'd gone to see Toy Story 2 maybe about 2 days before everything happened. I've been having bust-ups that week with the ex. I've been having bust-ups with my mum, who could see I wasn't happy. So I was quite stressed out. I was very focused. I'd quit a really good job about a month before to work on something. I just thought, got to throw caution to the wind here. You know, I'm wasting my time in this office. I like the people here. I get on with them. You know, to this day, I'm friends with a couple of the guys that I work with from that place. But I can't do this. I need to leave this place now because I need to write this project. And of course, it was the usual thing where, you know, I have to tell my mum, look, yeah, I've quit this job. Actually, no, I told the job, actually, because they were quite, it was a market research company, so it was shift work. You could come in, you could pick and choose your assignments. So I said, look, I'm just going to be away for a month or whatever. Well, actually, longer. But it was just a decision I made on the Friday. Friday morning, I thought, I can't do this. By the Friday evening, I was gone. I worked like a demon on this script. And of course, said it many a time before, the morning of the day I lost my mum, I picked up my first TV deal finally. So that intensity had paid off. I was flying that week. I had loads of meetings with producers. And I do mean loads. I can't get any for toffee nowadays. But I was having two or three a day that week. It was just incredible. And for me, it was a time when the glorious possibilities offered up by the early internet, you know, became known to me. I began to see how easy it was at the time to reach those producers that I wanted to work with. So I was absolutely flying that week, but at the same time, it wasn't a great time. You know, there was something about that time that never felt right. Always had the sense that it was going to end badly. You know, I was so unhappy at that time. And one of the things that had shaped this intensity of the work I was doing at that time was there'd been an incident the summer before where I'd seen my mum from a distance on Mayflower Road, and I was shocked at how old she looked. In fact, there were two instances where I was shocked at how old she looked. Once when I saw her there on the road, and around the same time I'd moved back into the bedsit. My mum was coming back from a holiday to Spain, and I'd never gone so long without ever seeing her. And it had been 3 weeks since I'd seen her. And when she came back, I was shocked at how old she looked. And those two moments told me that I better hurry up here. I need to do something here because we're not going to get out of here in this place. We're not going to get out of this place in one piece. And my mum had said that she was going to die there. And she did. And that always stayed with me. So that's the reason I was working like a dog. And I can talk about these moments, these visuals, dispassionately, because they're such a long time ago. But I'm just, you know, this week was about thinking, well, what would I have been like without these moments? Would I have had the kind of relationship with my mum that I have with my aunt, where, you know, I can tell my aunt anything and, you know, we're always cracking jokes. Well, not jokes, I'm not a gag writer. I'm more the kind of observational guy. But we make each other laugh. And I think I used to have that relationship with my mum. And then as I moved into my 20s, you know, you do that stupid thing where you're slightly embarrassed by your parents. In my case, I think it was simply because of the immigrant thing, you know, because of the lack of English. I was always a bit self-conscious about that. And I'm sure I've forgotten a lot of what I wanted to say here. I wonder what kind of show this podcast would have been had podcasts been around in 2000. Would I have done a podcast? Because I do think, I said it a couple of weeks ago, I think this show was very much shaped by my experiences as austerity began to make its presence felt early on in the last decade. I think this show was very much shaped by that. But I wonder what kind of podcast I might have done around 2000. Lopez, I'm sure, probably would have featured. The podcasts would no doubt have been interrupted a few times by my dad knocking at the door. He was, of course, our downstairs neighbour, and much like Kramer, he would always try to get into your flat. Unlike Kramer, the door was always shut, so he would just rattle the handle. So I'm sure that one of the first things I would have had to get to grips with on the editing front would have been to edit those audio moments out. Meeting Mickey Boy, that would have been still 3 years away. Not meeting him, but being reunited with him. Of course, I've known Mickey, well, most of my life, since we were 11. And he was always the guy from school that I regretted losing touch with. Mostly his fault, I think we've established that. And of course, Mickey, for all his laziness in the podcasting world, he is someone who is very much an early adopter of technology. Not only has he been on LinkedIn before I even knew what LinkedIn was, not only was he on Twitter by the time I went on Twitter, my 10th anniversary coming up shortly, fat lot of good that's done. He's been everywhere before me, and he was also on Friends Reunited before me, and I messaged him on Friends Reunited, I think, in 2001. He'd just had his kids, I think, just a few days earlier, and I picked the wrong moment when we were catching up with each other via an exchange of messages to just throw at him while he was having the best time of his life to date. I said, oh yeah, my mum's died, blah, 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 and then I didn't hear from him until 2003. From then on, that's it. There'll be no more reunions. That's just it. We've just picked up, and very quickly, it was just like there had never been this gap. It was just very natural getting back into each other's lives. It would have been interesting doing a show at that time without him. Covering that reunion would have been interesting. But I was there in the cemetery, sat on that memorial bench. And I remember just, I don't think I muttered it, but I just remember thinking the other day, this is not so much the day, but just life since that day overall. You know, the highlights, as I say, they've been career related. Any momentum linked to the battle to have a career, any momentum I picked up, that's what galvanized me. That's what kept me going. I allowed all that to define me. Not good. From that point of view. And I do wonder, had this not happened with my mum, would I have still been that person? Would I still have been defined or defined myself as a writer? Or would I have, without that tragedy, been able to establish a healthier life, a healthier outlook on life? I'll never know. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up the regular section. It's gone on for very long. Still got the Patreon section to record. So let's wrap this up. If you want to join the Undirty Dozen on the Patreon, patreon.com/DRT available. They might be having second thoughts now on sticking with the Patreon after the lugubrious end to this week's regular show. But just in case you do want to join the Patreon, coming up on this week's Patreon show, a trip to the cafe. I'm giving tips on how to board and exit buses now that the virus is getting closer. There's the usual Nectar Points update. I'm talking about freezing milk, some developments on the Greedo action figure front. Do remember as well, keep in mind any issues seeing the regular show next week, just visit danielruistyson.com/latest news to grab episode 221 from there, or you can find it on Mixcloud. So just bear that in mind. And also, if you want to win this week's full show, all you have to do is answer this question. What is my cutoff point for my eating an orange in the evening? Is it A, 1930 hours? Is it B, 2015 hours? Or is it C, 2100 hours? I'll say that again. What is my cutoff point for my eating an orange in the evening? Is it A, 1930 hours? Is it B, 2015 hours? Or is it C, 2100 hours? Paul S. Davis, the Nectar Points giant, he answered this correctly last week, but still hasn't downloaded the full-length episode 219. I WeTransferred him, and that is how competition winners will get the show. I do need some of those young flask-carrying audio boom Rupert listeners, and soon But do get your answers in via Twitter at 1607WestEgg, hashtag DRTOrange, or facebook.com/DRT is available, Insta at 1607WestEgg. And I'll get the show to you if we follow each other on social media. And I don't have your email address, and you're aware of that, just message me your email address. First three correct answers on all these social media sites, that's the first three combined, get the episode. I'm not expecting any winners, but, you know, it's good to throw a competition in there every now and then. A good question from listener. More than that, I suppose, a once upon a time podcast collaborator and fellow podcaster in his own right, Filth D. They asked in regards to the Evening Orange, to commence or finish the orange consumption. That is the kind of detail I like. I can confirm that the time is the time that the orange has to be finished by. Whether it's, let me just find what I've put there, the options, whether it's whether I have to finish the orange by 1930 hours, 2015 hours, or 2100 hours. What an exciting competition. And that is it. That is the regular show this week. It is time for you guys to get your shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. I'm Daniel Ruiz-Tyson, and this week I have been available.